Is God in Bethel? This is part two. Our text is in Amos chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, Seek ye me, and ye shall live, but seek not Bethel. And as you remember, the name means in the original language, house of God. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Now, we believe that the United States of America is, in effect, a restoration of the latter-day house of Joseph. So if Bethel, which was a place of worship in ancient Palestine, if Bethel stands for our churches, this, in effect, is a warning to end-time Israel that there is no help, there's no water, there's nothing to put out fire in Bethel or in the churches. In the first part, we read all of the passages from 2 Kings, Genesis to 2 Kings 10, where the name of Bethel appeared, and we found that it was the place where Jacob set up the stone and anointed it, and then he called that Bethel. It was also a city in Canaan land, and also a mountain or a hill is called Bethel in Canaan land. It was a godly place at the beginning. However, it was occupied by the Canaanites when Israel came out of Egypt into Canaan land, and it was at the city of Bethel where Joseph first disobeyed God by leaving a Canaanite alive who came out of the city of Bethel. And this was followed, as we read in the history books, by the other tribes then doing the same thing. They did not obey the command of God that they were to slay all the Canaanites, man, woman, and child. They allowed them to live. Now, the major corruption of Bethel, however, was after Solomon's time, after the division of the kingdom. And we read where Jeroboam, who was the king over the northern house of Israel, put the golden calves in Bethel, or in the house of God. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 26 through 33. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel, and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. So Jeroboam, the king over the northern house of Israel, decided the only way he could make the people follow him, rather than to turn back to the God of Israel, which they might do if they went back to Jerusalem, was to provide them with God in their own place in the northern kingdom. So he set up one in Bethel and one in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not the sons of Levi. And I want you to remember, he did all this to prevent Israel from turning back to the God of Israel. This was the purpose of this, to make them stay with him. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. He even set up the feasts and the sacrifices on different days, so they didn't coincide with the true feasts and sacrifices, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. So he did all three of these things, set up a false god, set up a false priesthood, and actually false rituals, so the people would follow an entirely false religion in order to prevent their turning back to the God of Israel. Chapter 13, verse 33 and 34, After this thing Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. Anyone who desired to be a priest in Israel, the king said, All right, you're a priest. Didn't take them from the tribe of Levi. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. Chapter 14, God sent warnings to them in verse 15 and 16, "For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin and who made Israel to sin." It was those things, false gods in the places of worship in Israel, false priests and rituals in Bethel, in the house of God, which was the cause of God then driving Israel out of old Canaan land, called in here many places, of course, the sin of Jeroboam. 2 Kings 10, Jehu, the king who did some things right in the sight of God by slaying the Baal priests, however, we read in verse 31 and 32 of 2 Kings 10, "But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. In those days the Lord began to cut Israel short, and Hazael smote them in all the coasts of Israel." So now begins the bringing low of the northern house of Israel because of this sin of false religion, as it were, in the land of Israel, established by the kings and maintained by the kings. 2 Kings 17, beginning in verse 5. "Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. And in the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the city of the Medes." So now the northern house of Israel is taken into the prophesied captivity because of the sin of Jeroboam. "For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the steps of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel which they had made." The commission here is that they did two things which were false as far as religion was concerned. They walked in the statutes of the heathen, and they walked in the statute of the king. Remember, it was Jeroboam, the king, the government, that set up the false gods and false religion. "And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, and they built them high places in all the cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree." And then it goes on for verse after verse, showing the filthy religious practices that were practiced by the Israelites, not by the heathen, but by the Israelites in the land of Israel that brought about their captivity. Verse 18, "Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only." Verse 22, "For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day." Gone into captivity, and the sin was worship of other gods. They worshiped the gods of the heathen and the gods of the government, if you please. And you remember that because we're going to read more about that at the end of this when we get the final story on Bethel. Now, a strange thing happened concerning Bethel after Israel was taken out of the land. It's not a specific part of this story about Bethel. However, there's a very good lesson in it, and perhaps we can see the truth of it from our own experience of today and the last several hundred years if we read it right on in the same chapter. Verse 24, "And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon, and from Cuthah, and from Ava, and from Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof." This was a common practice of the Oriental kings. Whenever they conquered a territory, they would move the people to a strange land, and then they'd bring other people in there, because this breaks the bond of patriotism to the land and makes them easier to rule. You can see the same thing in the plans of the communists as they simply drive people out of their own homes and their own cities into other parts of the country. Just like our so-called protectors in our federal government plan this evacuation of the American cities in case of atomic war. They're going to drive you away from your home, your people, and your relatives, and so on. This is what the Assyrian kings did, and then they brought non-Israelites back into the area that had been occupied by Israel. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which loosed some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria. Now these are the non-Israelites in what was Israel's land, speaking to their king, saying, the nations which thou hast removed, and that would have been their own people, and placed in the cities of Samaria, know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he has sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. So the Assyrian king decided to send an Israelite priest back to the non-Israelites to teach them about the God of Israel. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel. Where did he go? Back to this very important place in the northern house of Israel, in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. This is an Israelite priest teaching in Bethel, the house of God, non-Israelites, about the God of Israel. Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Sukkoth-Dinoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashima. Notice, each one of the different groups of people set up their own god, and the Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak, and the Sepharvites burnt their children in the fire to Adrammelech and Anammelech, the gods of the Sepharvaim. So they feared the Lord. Now notice this. These are non-Israelitish heathen people in an Israel land being taught by an Israelite priest in Bethel, right? In the house of God. So they feared the Lord. In other words, they did fear the God of Israel and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from them. These non-Israelite heathen feared the God of Israel and did what? And served their own gods. Now, the newspaper provided me with something that fits this very well. Let me read part of it. Headline says, Dark Drums, Voodoo Thrives in Florida. It's a reference to all of the Cubans and the Haitians and these other people who have come into Florida in the last some years. I can't read it all, so I'll read a few excerpts. Headless bodies of goats and chickens float limply down the Miami River, sacrifices to jealous and angry gods. We get hundreds, Dade's water control chief Paul Harvey complained. In Miami Beach, numbing drums sometimes break the night stillness. In nearby Sweetwater, colorful shrines to unfamiliar saints dot neatly trimmed lawns. Across Dade County, more than 20 boutiques sell herbs, talismans, human bones, and sacred stones to believers. A little further on, it names it Santeria, which is the name of one of the voodoo things, the secret faith of Yoruba tribesmen in Nigeria, carried to the New World in the holds of 16th century slave ships, has taken root in southern Florida soil and flowered. Early in the New World, Santeria became a secret faith for initiates only. And listen to the description here by this author. Under the overseer's lash, Cuban slaves converted to Christianity, but cloaked their beliefs in the garments of their new religion saints. It is a melange of black and white magics and spiritualism where St. Peter is Ogun, owner of all metal and weapons, and the Christ child is Eluga, god of the tricksters. A little further down. In the gloom of Dade County Jail, criminals from the 1980 Mariel boat lift have built tiny altars of cardboard and paper to St. Barbara, worshipped as the fire-breathing warrior god Chungo. In homage, believers offer cups of coleslaw. On the backs are tattoos to the seven African powers, Santeria's pantheon. However, animal lovers, State Attorney Janet Reno, and some Cuban Americans now have allied to condemn some of Santeria's bloodier practices, like the nipping off of pigeon heads and the mutilation of seagulls to tell fortunes or to appease the religion's gods. Wildlife activist Jace Cassiwis Jr. said the primitive worship of gods through the sacrifice of birds and animals has reached epidemic proportions in Dade County. Daily we receive reports and bodies of sacrificed animals and birds. Then they said they were trying to identify the people and stop this, and then a little further it says, in retaliation, Samora and a band of Centuria believers are printing flyers to teach the English-speaking public why their faith requires the ritual slaughter of birds, lambs, goats, and deer. They plan to distribute leaflets at supermarkets to show why Santeria has a rightful place in Miami's ethnic and spiritual life. The high priest says, quote, "We are respectful of the law, but we should be allowed to practice our religion in our churches and in our homes." And that's the end of the article. And I imagine it's only a matter of time before Santeria receives tax-exempt status and is considered a church. I read all of that in this portion here because that incident in ancient Palestine seems to be at least a part of the proof that non-Israelites always take Israel's religion and Israel's God and corrupt it back into their own religion. That same thing is taking place all over America as the alien and the heathen invade this land. The people from India and Pakistan and from China and from Vietnam, and they're all worshiping their own gods. Some of them do accept a form of Christianity or attempt to pass as Christians, but they do the same thing, apparently, that these non-Israelites did in ancient Canaan land. The last verse of that chapter ends this way. So these nations feared the Lord, or feared the God of Israel, and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. So 2.5 millenniums ago, an Israelite priest teaching the heathen about the God of Israel, even in a land of Israel, in the house of God, had no success whatsoever. They still continued to worship their own gods. Now you thought, when I read all this, that I was condemning the heathen. And here I just got through reading to you what our forefathers, our Israelites did. They did the same thing the heathen did. In fact, they actually instituted the heathen practices into their religion. That's the whole condemnation here of Israel, that they followed the statutes of heathen and the statutes of their own king who set up false gods for them. They were actually driven from the land because of it. So you thought I was condemning these Negroes from Africa because they are worshiping other gods. God has just driven Israel out of the ancient land because they did what? They did the same things I just read these people are doing down in Florida. They worshiped the heathen gods and followed the rituals of the heathen religions. Anyway, the pure and true Christian religion apparently is an heritage of the Israel people if we would but read it and listen and have faith and believe, and instead we're a stiff-necked people. I thought you'd be interested in that because you can see that these people coming in here are reverting to their own heathen religions in great numbers. Then the fulfillment of that strange prophecy about Bethel, where that prophet said that a king by the name of Josiah would actually burn the altar at Bethel and would burn the priest bones upon it. 2 Kings chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Now notice, this is the southern kingdom. The northern house of Israel has already gone into captivity. This is Judah, and he reigns in Jerusalem. Verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Chapter 23, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar, and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people stood by the covenant. This good, godly king in Judah is making a covenant between he and the people and the God of Israel that they would turn and worship the God of Israel. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple, and this was the temple in Jerusalem, of course, of the Lord, all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all those of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Tidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. Notice what he did. Judah was also in sin and iniquity. So this godly king who still remains in Judah after Israel has gone into captivity cleanses the temple of all the filth and corruption, false idols, and heathen worship in Jerusalem. He burned it up and took the ashes and carried it to where the northern house of Israel had been worshiping in Bethel. He carried it to Bethel. Then you read on a general house cleaning of all of the cities of Judah and many of the cities of the northern house of Israel. And remember, they were gone. These heathen were in there. Chapter 14, or verse 14. And he brake in pieces the images and cut down the groves and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place where Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he brake down and burned the high place and stamped it small to powder and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres or the graves that were there in the mount and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord which the man of God proclaimed who proclaimed these words. Then he said, what title is that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulcher of the man of God which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. And he said, let him alone, let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. So Josiah fulfilled the prophecy of the prophet that he would go and burn the altar at Bethel, and then he would take the bones of the priest who had been preaching his false religions in Bethel and burn them upon the altar. And all the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria. This is the southern king going into the northern kingdom after Israel is gone. Apparently, God insisted that the false religion of Israel was cleansed even after they left. In the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. Fulfilled prophecy right to the letter. The priests, the false priests set up by Jeroboam, although they may have lived out their lives, after they were dead, they were dug up out of their graves and their bones were burned as God cleansed the ancient high places that were used to worship other gods. All right, the history of Bethel is over as far as the history books are concerned. Now let us turn to prophecy. Turn to the 10th chapter of Hosea. Hosea was a prophet to the northern house of Israel, both before their captivity and after they went into the Babylonian or the Assyrian captivity and removed out of the land. Hosea 10 in verse 10, God said, it is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them, when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows, or the margin says it could be in their two habitations, which could be either the two houses, one of Judah and one of Israel, or of course their old land from which they were removed and the new land to which they were going. Then he speaks of Ephraim, which is the northern house. And Ephraim is an heifer that is taught, and loveth to tread out the corn that I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clod. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Now that's what they were supposed to do, seek God. But here's what they had done. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiled Beth Arbel in the day of battle, the mother was dashed in pieces upon her children, so shall Bethel. Now notice, he's going to blame all of their calamities upon Bethel. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. And of course that is what happened, as we've already read from the history book. So he is saying Bethel will actually do this to you. Now you think about this for a moment. Let me ask you a question. Are the false churches in America good for America, or will the false churches in America bring calamity upon America? He didn't say the Assyrian king is going to bring calamity on you. He didn't say the communists are going to bring calamity on you. He said Bethel is going to do this to you. And what was Bethel? Bethel was false worship, false priests, and false rituals in Israel, making believe they were worshiping the God of Israel when they were worshiping gods of the heathens. And he said, that false religion is going to bring calamity upon you. The mother will be dashed in pieces upon her children, and the king of Israel shall utterly be cut off. Hosea 12. Ephraim feedeth on wind and followeth after the east wind. In Bible symbolism, of course, the east is the land of the heathen religions, Hinduism and Buddhism and so on. They follow after the east wind. They follow the eastern religions. He daily increaseth lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. The Lord also hath a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his doings will he recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. This is a reference to Jacob's name being changed to Israel, which means ruling with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. See how important Bethel is to the Israelites, because it was there, after Jacob vowed a vow at Bethel, that God changed his name to Israel and began this whole choosing of his sons to be his chosen people and the Israel people, which was then put into a covenant at Mount Sinai. But it began at Bethel. So Bethel is a very holy place in Israel, and yet because they corrupted God's religion in Bethel, God said, Bethel will be the cause of your destruction and your being taken into other lands. Now, verse 5, he says, even the Lord of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. There's no condemnation of Bethel here in relation to Jacob. So Hosea gives us both sides. Jacob was blessed because he honored God at Bethel, but Ephraim and the northern house of Israel found Bethel to be a curse to them because they worshiped false gods in Bethel. Remember the sermons that I did on doctrine. We found that it was not the church, nor the minister, nor the denomination that was important. What was important was right doctrine. The same thing we're finding out here regarding Bethel. What is important is not even the place or the name, which means house of God. What was important was what was done there. Was it true faith and religion, or was it false religion? Even the hallowed place of Bethel became a curse to the Israel people because they worshiped the gods of the heathen there. Turn to Amos again. Amos has a lot to say about Bethel. Amos 3 and verse 9. Publish in the palaces of Ashdod and in the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold the great tumult in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. Now the mountains of Samaria were, of course, the northern house of Israel. For they know not to do right, says the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces, and the palaces are the place of rulership, of course. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, an adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. God will send an enemy against you because you do robbery and violence in your palaces or in your places of rule. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs, or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria, in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch. Hear ye, and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgression of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. And I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord. And this came to pass. The whole house of Israel was brought to an end, their power was destroyed, and they're taken out of the land. Now he said, I will cut off the horns of the altar, and I'm not going to take time to read what that means. I'll tell you where it is. You can read it in Daniel 8, and you'll read a vision about the ram and a he-goat. And they have horns, then the horns are identified as the ruler or the king. And then the horn in the vision is broken off, and the nation or the empire loses its power. So in effect, what he's saying, when he will cut off the horns of the altar of Bethel, I believe he will cut off the rulers and leaders of false religion. He'll cut off those people who control it at the top and destroy it by cutting off the leaders or breaking the horns of Bethel. Amos 4, verse 1. Hear this, ye kine of Bashan that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring, and let us drink. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you, that he will take you away with hooks, and your posterity with fishhooks. And ye shall go out after breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palaces, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress, at Gilgal multiply transgressions, and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. God is condemning them for sin and iniquity, and then he says to them, you come to Bethel and do what? Transgress. Come to Gilgal, multiply transgressions. Come to your places of worship and do evil and wickedness and violate God's law. That's what they were doing in the land of northern Israel. Verse 5, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offering, for this liketh you, or the margin says, for this ye love. You love to perform all of these marvelous religious rituals that make everyone think you're such a great Christian and you're such a great Christian church, but what do? You violate God's laws, statutes, and judgments while you go right to Bethel and you go to Gilgal. This was the accusation against the Israel people. Verse 6, and I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord God. God brought judgment on them, even famine in the land, and they still did not discontinue the false gods. Now I ask you a question. Does Israel discontinue her false religion when God brings judgment on them? Well, now they didn't in ancient Palestine. They continued right up until God took them out of the land into Assyria. And God says to Amos, he says, you love to go to Bethel and transgress. You love to go to Gilgal and transgress. You love to have your great meetings and call people to come down and believe in Christ and have your missionary work and your great churches. And all the time you're doing that, you're violating my laws, statutes, and judgments you will not obey. Does it sound familiar to any of you here? Amos 5, verse 4 and 5. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live, but seek not Bethel. What was in Bethel? A false god, false priest, false worship. Why seek Bethel? But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Modern Israel in America is being destroyed by the fire of sin, by the fire of her false religion, and by the fire of her enemies, even the fire of God, and there is no water in Bethel to put it out. There are 250,000 churches in America, 300,000 ordained ministers. How many among them call Israel to turn from her sin and put away her false gods and turn back to God and worship Him? Almost without exception, except for a very, very tiny percentage of them, they preach doctrines which identify their God as something other than the God of Israel. Because the doctrines they teach are not in this Bible. They get them from somewhere else. Where do they get them? Must come from the heathen and from the false gods. Here is their sin. Verse 7. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the seven stars in Orion and turneth the shadow of death into the morning and maketh the day dark with the night, that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth him out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name, that strengtheneth the spoiled or the robbed against the strong, so that the spoil shall come against the fortress. He accuses them in verse 7 of turning judgment to wormwood and leaving off righteousness in the earth. Verse 10, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. The gate is the government. Let me repeat, 300,000 ordained ministers in America, and how many of them preach that we should have righteousness in government, that our government should obey God's law, statutes, and judgment to bring righteousness in the land of Israel? A very, very small percentage of them. Verse 11, for as much therefore as your treading is upon the poor, and you take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. Almost every place in the Old Testament where you read a condemnation of Israel, either the rulers, the priests, or both, when they are accused of worshiping other gods, right in the same passage, they are accused of what? Robbery and plunder of the people. Economic sins in the land. He says, your treading is upon the poor, and you take from him burdens of wheat. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. They plunder the people when they have false religion in Israel. Verse 13, therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. And all too often that one is read and said, well, that means that we're supposed to shut up. No, it says the prudent man will be quiet. If you're prudent, you'll shut up. You don't want to get in trouble, right? It doesn't say the righteous man will be quiet in that time. It says the prudent, the smart fellow, will shut his mouth and not talk back because he knows he gets in trouble. And is that possible? That's happening in the United States of America? We may have more prudent preachers than you know about. They read this verse of Scripture and they says, okay, I'm going to be prudent. I won't say anything. The prudent shall keep silent in that time, for it is an evil time. But what are we supposed to do? Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. Establish judgment in the government. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Notice here there is a little call in Amos to correct the churches. There's a condemnation of the worship, and there's a condemnation of the rulers, but the call is to correct the rulers in Israel. Let me ask you a question. Who has the greatest effect on the day-to-day living and the welfare of our people? Is it government or is it the churches? I remember one time years ago when Pastor Stanford, I believe it was exhorting the people to attend the services, and he repeated some of their excuses about, well, they were tired on Sunday morning and they couldn't get up and they'd worked hard all week and so on and so on and so on. And he pointed out that they may not have realized it, but economic problems are the major reason why our people do not carry out their Christian duties. Their money has been taken from them by the government, or so much has been taken from them that they wear themselves out trying to get money, and they do not take care of what they should do for God as far as their Christian duties are concerned. What has the greatest effect on us? Unrighteousness in government. And that always follows when we have false preaching in the churches. Now, some of you will speak up and say, "Oh, but Pastor Emery, there are men like Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson who do rail about the sins in the nation and against government, and they say that the government is doing wrong and so on." Well, those men also teach that we are heathen people. They teach that we're a bunch of heathen. We're not Israelites. Now, I have a very short statement by Pat Robertson I'm going to play here, and I hope it goes on the tape, from a television broadcast he did some years ago. I'm not sure he's changed his mind. He rails against certain things that are wrong in the country, but here's what he says about you people who believe we are the Israelites.
The reason that is that I'm completely wrong in some of them, but the study is that they think the 10 tribes of Israel, so-called lost tribes, you know, the ones who were carried off into Assyria, they said that they got all dispersed, and it is their feeling that those 10 tribes wandered through history and wound up in the British Isles, and that they actually became the Anglo-Saxon races. And so the Anglo-Saxons who founded America and Britain are really the 10 lost tribes of Israel. And that's what British Israel is, and there isn't one scintilla of decent historical evidence to back it up. No biblical evidence whatsoever, and none in history. But it's the kind of thing like Adolf Hitler did with the Aryan race that makes you feel good. I mean, I'm an Anglo-Saxon, hallelujah, I'm one of the lost tribes, you know. But I mean, it's just, there's nothing to back it up. And then, of course, the next progression is that our law, our constitution, our way of doing things came from the old biblical thing. So, really, America is a continuation of Israel. Well, it's nice and comforting to think that we're one of the chosen people, but I don't think we've got a historical basis for it. And consequently, it's just not considered in the mainstream of Christianity, from what I can tell. I appreciate the question. Remember, Thursday and Friday, we'll have 40, 50 minutes. We just want to deal with the questions that you have in your mind. We'll be back with more electric magic station.
All right, I think I'll stop there today because I have at least one more sermon here. I'll just simply close by asking you a question which you can think about until we continue this the next time. Do you still think there is help for modern America, Israel, in what we call the churches, what we today would call Bethel? Let's stand. Our Father and our God, we do thank you for your promise and for this written history of our people that shows us that our hope is in thee. It's not in ourselves. We certainly are a stiff-necked people. We turned and went away backward. We've done worse than the heathen. And then again, you brought us into a good land. You gave us this marvelous land, and we turned away again. We turned to the heathen practices. And Father, we know that we need your mercy. We know that you have given us a promise of it, and we just pray for all of our people and for ourselves that you'll forgive our sins, forgive our iniquities, turn us back to you that we might serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.